mistakes.
And you can't
appreciate specific
heartbreaking fashion.
You stay up.
Raised to nothing.
The Imaginary Radio Show with the Imaginary Radio Show Players. In tonight's episode, we're featuring Brian O.
On my own show, when they leave, I record myself. And I'm funny.
Alicia. Brian M.
Because when you understand.
Oh, yes!
Sherry.
Where are your sawed-off shotguns when you need them?
You're listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
You have a game.
It's not a game.
No, it has to be a game.
It's a bit of a quiz, but I need...
A quiz?
Yeah. Well, no. Is this my music? He's dancing. All right, I'll roll with it.
Yeah, what's your game?
Okay. I need you to... I'm going to tell you something, and then I want you to tell me the answer. I'm going to ask you something, and you tell me the answer.
Okay. Sounds like a game to me.
It's sort of a game. Alright.
I love this music. Yeah, it's funny. Very apropos.
What did Brenda and Eddie buy, and from where?
They bought a Sears, I'm gonna get this. They bought it from Sears. A carpet.
A carpet. Fuck. I like that.
Come on, the music's gonna end.
Sears. Carpet. Fuck. $99.95.
With special Scotchgard.
They brought a painting. A painting and a brand new carpet from Sears.
There you go.
I didn't know that. What is this? What?
That's a teaching an Italian restaurant.
I'm not done.
Okay, go ahead.
Tommy. Oh, yeah, I need a bell. Oh, I need my bell.
Go get your bell.
Sherry wants to hit the bell. You should get the buzzer, too. Answer correct. Question two. Mm-hmm. Tommy and Gina were a couple. Where did Tommy work?
From the dock.
Very good.
Thank you.
Damn it.
Jack and Diane were hanging out. What were they sucking on?
Wow.
What was Diane sucking on? No, I don't know.
Mama,
chili dogs. Chili dogs.
Yep. Very good.
Very good. And my final question.
I like this game.
When you're 64, what are the names of your three grandchildren?
Vera, Chuck, and Dave.
Ooh. I tried to do it three times.
Very good.
Very good.
I had to know that he divorced
me. So what do you think? Do you like my new little quiz?
I love it.
Okay.
I have one. Okay. Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. What was the Beatles song?
I know it. He would jump and shake the walls, right? It was,
Or not. Yeah.
Or not. Was Bebop Baby on a Hard Day's Night? That one?
No.
Oh.
Love Me Good.
Okay. What's that from?
That's from, what was the song? Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. Love Me Do, I think it was. From there, it didn't take him long.
No, I don't know if I know it.
You know it.
Alright, well, we got a new bit.
Yeah, that's good.
We got a new bit.
Good.
But anyway, the reason why I was thinking about that is, like, there are certain story songs that people just know. You know?
You know the whole story behind it.
Yeah, like Brenda and Eddie had it already in the summer of 75. Like,
I wouldn't have known that one.
Oh, you wouldn't know that one?
No.
When was the marriage? Oh, come on! It's the next line!
Huh.
Hang on a second.
At the end of July?
Yes. They decided to be married.
They couldn't go back to the Greasers. The best they could do is pick up their pieces. Like,
I think they were always a hit at
the Parkway Diner.
Yes, of course.
I mean, you can go all day with just one song.
I guess
we can. But if you think about it, like, even if you're not a Billy Joel fan, people will know these things. Like, there are certain songs, like, people just know. You know. I don't know.
So they're stuck completely in the psyche of people.
Right.
Popular songs like that.
Right. So.
Shooting Star.
I'm an idiot.
What? That's the name of the song, Shooting Star.
Oh, okay. Nah, I don't know if I know it.
Don't you know that you are a shooting star?
Oh, yeah, now I know it.
The whole world will love you just as long. As long as you are a shooting star.
Okay.
That's a bad song.
Well, my version of it is.
You're listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
But I got a bunch of odd things to talk about tonight.
I want to know why there's a dollar on the table.
That's could be part of the radio show.
Can I have it?
You can have it when it's done. You actually have to monitor it. You actually have to then put it back into circulation. That's another reason why I need your computer tonight. Okay, Brian.
Yes, you will, but she'll buy a pocketbook.
That's fine.
For a dollar?
Back circulation.
What does that mean? Why did you write Imaginary Radio Show on it?
I'm going to.
And we're
going to
see if it gets...
Where do you send it?
I'm going to.
It actually says something on it.
Yeah,
right?
It's a Where's
George
bill.
Yeah.
It's a Where's George bill.
Oh, so
then we can actually track it. Okay.
What?
You don't know what Where's George is?
What
no.
somebody did was it was just a stupid thing. I mean,
it's
a cool thing.
It's cool.
And then they just stamp Where's George, right?
Okay.
Okay, so then you get the dollar, and then you sign on to where'sgeorge.com or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you type in the serial number of the dollar, and you say, oh, I've got mine in Bronxville. And then you pass it on. And you can see the history of the dollar. So tonight, we're going to go on Where's George, and we're going to find out where this dollar was. And it was in California, it was in Oregon, it was in Florida, and now it's in New Jersey.
Oh, I like that.
So then now I can write...
TheWagBand.com.
TheWagBand.com, Imaginary Radio Show on it, look at our Imaginary Radio Show, and then we can actually track the bill because it's a Where's George bill.
That's nice. Awesome idea.
That's an excellent idea. Make sure
it's also a federal offense.
No, it's not. It's fine.
Let me see the
stamp. As long as you don't...
deface it?
No. If it's still legal tender. It's still legal tender. Believe me, if it was a federal offense, Where's George would be shut down, stamping every dollar bill they see. You know what I'm saying?
You want me to just go on it right now?
Go on it right now.
Yeah, let's see.
Is it where'sgeorge.com?
Yeah,
where'sgeorge.com. You have to register.
No. I don't think you have to. No.
You know, now with this though, Brian, like...
Yeah.
We can't start one, right? Like, it's this whoever this company is starting.
You can start one because you can just go right Where's George on it. You know, but this is a Where's George one, right? So this already has history to it. This
okay.
has been around the block.
Watch, it came from Middletown.
Maybe.
You don't know.
Let's see.
And usually, they say what they might have spent to
yeah,
get the
get
change,
like
what they
get
bought.
A little history
or,
in
yeah.
it. It's interesting. Right,
give me the
serial number.
Serial number.
B as in boy.
Or Brian.
159er 516 07 L as in Larry. This is going to be the famous Imaginary Radio Show dollar bill.
We should use it to buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, there you go.
It probably came from Palm Slats or something.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody could hand me this bill back, they should get a prize.
Okay.
Then they get the whole catalog.
Please add a short note about this bill. Where did you find it? What condition is it in? Etc.
Change at
the
New Jersey Turnpike.
Exit 120. In the toll booth.
Toll booth.
It's in my G string.
Yeah. At least she got it as a tip.
Nice.
She had to get 50 cents.
In my
back.
Long underwear at work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What kind of condition is it in?
Fair.
Fair condition. But anything else that we need to know about it?
This is now the special Imaginary Radio Show bill.
This is now the
special
Imaginary Radio Show bill.
Imaginary.
Sound like you said Fradio bill.
Bill.
So when you trace the bill, please listen to our radio show.
Wag.
And then you know, fill in the blanks with all the fun stuff.
You know, if you're gonna do it, you better write it neat.
No, I'm not gonna write it. You're gonna write it.
I'm not going to jail writing on the thing.
You're not gonna go to jail.
Yes.
All right. I'll write it. What's the fine? I just give him a dollar back.
No. The but fine is like $500.
No, 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 you're not defacing. Because you're not defacing it to make a change on it. You know what I mean? That's why you can take those pennies at the toll booths and run them through and then make a, you know, I love you horseshoe. Because you can't spend it anymore. It's your penny. You're not the. You're taking it out of circulation. Ooh, cha-ching.
Excuse me.
Now, where, right. Where was the bill?
Okay, $1 bill. Oh, bill has traveled 1,619 miles in 248 days, 10 hours, 51 minutes, at an average of 6.5 miles per day. It is now 1,619 miles from its starting location.
Get wow. out of town.
This list is in reverse chronological order, so.
Okay, so where
this is weird. User's note: fun money for the island. It was on June 8th, 2010, in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands.
Wow.
Yeah, see?
Cool.
That was the initial entry.
Can we take it back there? I want to go there.
Sure. And now, obviously, it's been around, but nobody's logged anything in, so we were the very next one.
Oh, we're the second.
Yeah, we're the second one, and. Travel time from the previous entry, 248 days, 10 hours, 51 minutes.
Missing from...
You need another pen.
I can see.
Cry.
What? I'm writing on our bill.
No,
you got to make it clear.
I just... Oh,
it's not working.
I need a marker.
Do like a felt tip?
Yeah, felt, type. Fine felt tip. Marker. It's like a wax for our imaginary radio show.
That's so cool. I can't believe... that it was there.
Yep. And then when we're going to see where it is after that.
Yeah, I will get an email if somebody logs in.
Oh, perfect. So we have to buy the lottery ticket with this. Is it made in your arena show?
It's not felt, but test it.
Wow, you can get Where's George t-shirts and coffee mugs, bumper stickers.
Yeah, put that bill in.
No, no, I'm going to frame it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's... Hold on, it's the first imaginary radio show dollar. I'm going to frame it.
Just fix the Y on the end of that.
Yeah.
It's hard to see it.
Brian, I'll be checking out every day. Like, why isn't it not responding? It's in the music room.
Damn.
In a frame.
This website officially went live on December 23rd, 1998.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
As long as the band.
Yeah.
Ho-ho.
Slightly less as long. That doesn't make sense. You know what I mean. I'm exhausted.
I don't, but that's all right.
We were around since September.
And when was this around?
December.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, is it legal to write on or mark currency?
Here we go.
Where's George does not encourage the defacement of U.S. currency. The law defines illegal defacement as defacement that renders bills unfit to be reissued.
All right, so this is the Where's George bill, and hopefully... we'll find out where it goes. And hopefully
that'd be
this
cool.
This is how we're going to get listeners, through dollar bills that circulate every 258 days.
Back to the Virgin Islands.
Back to the Virgin Islands.
It would be terrible, though, if it said, like, this dollar bill was last logged in the drug bust.
Yeah, yeah. This is evidence of a drug bust. And it's got our name. They're going to come knocking at our door, man.
Who's the guy that jumped out of the plane with the money?
D.B. Cooper.
D.B. Cooper, right? Used to have this.
Yeah, do we have any old 20s? You got an old 20?
No.
Next time, if you find old 20s, I need an old 20s.
Why?
Because you could search and see if it was D.B. Cooper money. That would be cool. All
right.
And next time, save an old 20.
Okay.
For my D.B. Cooper, I'm going to solve that case.
You might.
To hear our music and to download more Imaginary Radio Show episodes, please visit www.thewagband.com.
In I Dream of Jeannie, when Dick... York changed into Dick Sargent.
That was
did not, anybody know?
Time out. Don't misconstrue. That don't bewitch the I Dream of Jeannie. Two different things.
And you wow, you say defensive?
Yeah, a little bit over my I Dream of Jeannie. You do not. I repeat, you do not mess with I Dream of Jeannie. It was no bewitched.
Well, I'm asking you.
I mean, Bewitched was no I Dream of Jeannie.
They weren't each other.
But I Dream of Jeannie was better.
Sweet.
Doggone it.
How dare you.
How come... did anybody notice when the actor switched?
Probably the actor.
Yeah. Yeah, they know.
Why did they switch?
I don't know. contract or something.
Okay. You know, but I guess maybe I watched a lot of TV.
No, apparently not, because you think that Dick Sargent and Dick York, two dicks, are in I Dream of Jeannie. Dad, they're in Bewitched.
All right, Bewitched.
Don't. I got a sound clip from I Dream of Jeannie.
You do?
I do. Because your bell...
sucks.
Yes, you know it sucks. She knows how to ring it. You don't. But your bell is to when people start... blah, 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 and they talk.
Right.
You go like this.
Right.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Oh, I should have done that then.
What?
I should have done that to you then.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
But then I found a clip from, I was watching I Dream of Jeannie, and I thought this was a good clip, and I'm going to keep this here for the radio show, because it's a little more subtle than your, so to go into one of your long-winded stories, Brett, go ahead.
Well, no.
Well, no, I gotta play the clip in context.
All right.
Good.
Well, I was thinking of television shows, so I was thinking of Mr. Furley. We all know Mr. Furley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they're like characters like that, where you know you could say somebody's name, and you know who it is, like the Fonz, you know. But getting back to Mr. Furley. There was an episode where let me see how I can say this. There was an episode where he was locked in a freezer with Jack, I guess it is Jack Tripper, and they were going to die. And the only way they could keep warm and survive is if they like held each other and like using their body heat. But in the show, he was supposed to be gay, and Mr. Furley was like anti-gay or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he told them, like, he wasn't gay, just so they could hug or whatever. And then when they got saved, he said, no, I really am gay, whatever, just so he could live in the apartment. But it's funny because, like, that's how I learned about that body heat can, like, save you in situations like that. So, from Mr. Furley and Jack Tripper.
It's amazing how for 1 hour and a half you managed to say absolutely nothing.
Thank you.
Alright. I tried to be long-winded there, but...
Yeah, you did a good job. So that's my new thing. Whenever anybody's been long-winded, I'm just going to do the old Dr. Bellows.
It's amazing how for 1 hour and a half, you managed to say absolutely nothing.
It comes from a great show. Can I give you a little rundown of the I Dream of Jeannie episode that came from?
Please.
So Major Nelson is... He's doing work on whatever, some space project, and Jeannie's always up his ass. So he's just like, listen, you know, she needs a hobby. So, and then something happens where they see this mother mistreating her kid. And she's like, oh God, the mother's bad. I could be a really good mother. I could write a book about it. And he's like, really, you can? So how long would it take you to write a book? She's like, oh, about a month. He's like, great, get your bottle and write the book. So she writes the book, and he does his little space thing for a month, and everything's great. So then she finally sees done writing the book. So she writes the book, and then she sends it to a publisher, but she can't put her name on it. She puts Major Anthony Nelson's name on it. And, of course, it's a hot seller. But he doesn't know anything about it. So then he's out one day flying his little lunar lander, and he lands, and then Dr. Bellows is like, there's reporters in your office. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, I'm just going to go in there. I'm sure they heard about the little flight I just did. So he walks in his office. I go, do you have any questions for me? And then the first woman just looks at him and goes, would you explain your theory about breastfeeding? And it was just like...
I'm surprised they allowed that.
Yeah. It was great. It was the funniest line because he's, okay, they can ask me for my lunar lander thing. He's like, okay, I'm here to answer all your questions. And then I have the woman doing it.
Could you explain your theory about breastfeeding?
That's the first question he gets. I thought it was hysterical. So then he said, so they asked to sit there, and he goes like, they hand him the book, and he's like, holy shit, Jeannie, holy shit, Jeannie. And then so he has to sit there and answer all their questions, and then they walk in the office after he's done, and that's when you get Dr. Bellows.
It's amazing how for 1 hour and a half, you managed to say absolutely
Oh God! I just thought it was hysterical.
So I'd like to see that. Was that like one of the better episodes? Or?
Yeah, it's one of the better. Oh yeah, it's a great episode. They're all great. Love my dream.
But it was just funny.
His friend caused
a big he's sitting there expecting questions about his lunar lander. He's like, okay, first question.
Could you explain your theory about breastfeeding?
Taken aback. I was taken aback. You know, it was weird. I was driving down here, and I've now resorted to listening to AM stations just for fun. You find some weird AM stations. I found this one AM station, and it's cool, and it plays all like oldies and stuff like that. So I was listening to it, and the Shirelles came on.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay. You know,
Them.
I know them. My nephew's aunt is Shirley Olsen Reeves, who's the lead singer of the Shirelles. Now, this
very cool.
Apparently was common knowledge. And this is like my Major Nelson getting surprised thing, because this was common knowledge in my family, except for me. I didn't know it. So I come home one day, I go to my mother's house one day, and she's in the kitchen talking to my mother.
Who?
She had Shirley Austin Reeves. She's sitting at the kitchen table talking to my mother. So I walk in, my mother's talking to somebody. I don't know who she is. You know, I don't recognize, I don't really, you know, visually know her. So my mother's like, oh my God, oh my God. Do you know who this is? Do you know who this is?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know who this is. He could have been like a babysitter when I was a kid. Like now I feel bad because I'm like, oh, I should know this woman. I don't know this woman. And my mother, she just keeps hitting it. You don't know who this is? Oh my God, I can't believe you don't know who this is.
And what was she doing? Was she like...
No, she was fine. But instead of my mother saying, hey, you're a music fan, do you know who this is? Then I would have had a shot at her.
Right, you would have had
her. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I can look at her. I can see her age. You know, you can sit there and go, no, let me see. It's. I know what Gladys Knight looks like, but maybe it's one of the Pips. You know what I mean? Maybe it's one of the Supremes. I probably would have guessed Shirelles. I would have thrown that in.
Right.
So you go to the Shangri-Las, the Shirelles, the Supremes.
Not a Pip. Not a Pip.
Definitely not a Pip. They were all male.
Oh. Well, I don't know. So I'm just like, whatever. And then she's like, this is the lead singer of the Shirelles. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. And then that was like my Major Nelson moment. I'm like, why is the lead singer of the Shirelles in my kids? Would you explain why the lead singer of the Shirelles is in your mother's kitchen? And I was just like, what? And then I found the backstory of it. But I was That threw me for a loop.
And when did that happen?
Oh, years ago.
Years ago.
But I was like, oh, you're doing these things for us. Why are you having coffee with my mother? Like, it totally was a...
That's funny.
Could you explain your theory about breastfeeding?
Aunt Shirley was in my mother's kitchen. And I was floored by that fact.
Is that how they came up with the name, the Shirelles? Like, did they take her name?
It was her name, and then there was another band name that was popular at the time. And then it ended in L's. And they took that and they put them together.
That's very cool, though.
Yeah. But I was floored that day. I was floored. I was just like, why are you here? There was no knowledge of why this person would be here. Would you explain why there's a Shirelle in my mother's kitchen?
Anybody?
Would you explain why Bobby Darin's in the parlor laying on the couch? Would you explain why Paul Anka is in the driveway changing his oil?
I was in a choir that sang backup for him twice. Oh. For Paul Anka.
Cool.
Yeah. In Atlantic City, in one of the casinos. And also for Jose Carreras.
Was a high school thing? Or
no,
or
college.
Oh, college, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Would you explain why Shaka Khan's in the basement playing foosball?
Would you explain how we got a basement in this house that's on a slab?
Would you explain why Rod Stewart's upstairs in the bathroom taking a shit?
And now for some music from the WAG.
Just for you.
I want to talk about smiley faces. Because you had mentioned before about, like, selling product. Remember your Right Guard deodorant or whatever it was? Rite Aid.
Stuff that I've invented that has not come to fruition.
Suntan, lotion, cologne, all that stuff. Well, I was thinking, like, you know what sells smiley faces? You know, you could sell anything. Just put a smiley face on it, and it'll sell. Because, like, there's nothing nicer than a smiley
face. You should make that our next album cover.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's a smiley face.
Somebody did that.
You know, here's a hat. Put a smiley face on it. You're going to sell the hat. Like, it's great. I think smiley faces should be used for, I don't know, just about anything. You know, you could sell
underwear.
I'm trying to think of
you
some.
You could sell Ginsu knives because they cut tomatoes.
And cans.
And pipes. It cuts a pipe. Here's a Ginsu knife, and watch it cut a pipe, and then watch it cut a tomato. Well, of course it's going to cut a tomato. It's cut a fucking pipe in half. I never understood
or
that.
Or a fucking pipe. Or whatever.
Fife.
Put a smiley face on the handle, you'll sell more. That's what I think. You can do anything with a smiley face.
Please keep in touch with the show via email at imaginaryradio@optonline.net and look us up on Facebook.
Bowling.
For dollars?
No, not for dollars. Here's some weird things that I do, like with my friends. A couple friends and myself went bowling, and bowling's fun. It could be fun. But it's more fun when you add things to the bowling experience.
Such as?
Such as. Now, we went with one of our friends, Ken. He's an excellent bowler. He can bowl strikes a lot. And that's great. So I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great? Like, now we're all about the same age, this group of friends. I said, well, all right, let's make it interesting. Whoever bowls a strike... And the bowling alley is packed. But whoever bowls a strike has to do a little dance.
Oh, no.
And then go back to their seat. Right? Now, we're adults. And we're surrounded by...
Everybody.
A whole alley of adults. You know.
And kids.
So, and kids. Whatever. The whole thing. Now, this is just where my mind goes. And I don't know. You know, whatever. It's me. But... Okay, so I get my friends to agree on that, and I say, okay, but now the next person to bowl a strike has to do that dance and make up a dance. So they got to do two.
Oh,
so now you're out there. You're out there. Right by the alley. You bowl a strike.
Never go bowling with us.
Now, when you bowl a strike, sometimes people look at you, whatever, like, you know, like maybe the guy next to you, whatever. Yeah. Okay, now you got to stick your hand. Your pointer finger on your head and spin around, do a curtsy.
That's his signature dance.
And then do the Saturday Night Fever dance when you take your hand from your waist all the way up to the sky three times, and then go back to your seat. Okay, Ken bowls another strike. Now the bad thing for Ken was that he was the one that bowled the most strikes, so he had to do the most dances
and make up the most
Make up the dances. And everybody, I gotta tell you, like, and I recommend this to all of our listeners because
both of you,
it is so fun. I'm starting to laugh now just thinking about it because not only is the pressure there
to bowl a strike
or not after a while, our friend
for nothing would be I got a 13, but I didn't have to dance all night.
Exactly, and I'm dying to bowl a strike because I'm thinking I got these weird dances in mind, like long ones. Dance
choreographs.
Dance routines.
How are you going to remember it? Oh.
So, like, I'll just use my friend Ken as an example. He'll bowl the strike. He's got to remember Bill's dance, Janine's dance, and then his own. He's got to create a dance. So the pressure's there to create one. And it can't be a lame-o dance because everybody's, like, looking at you. Now, everybody in that's bowling with
you.
So
this isn't lame-o?
It can't be lame-o.
The Travolta dance is not lame-o.
I do the Charles...
You can do the chart, and that's been done. Now imagine this though: like when you normally go bowling, you know, if you're with like six people or whatever, when someone's bowling, not everybody's paying attention. Maybe somebody's going to get a soda, or maybe somebody. We had full attention. Everybody's watching. Everybody's critiquing the dances that are made up. Everybody's making sure that you dance in order.
Yeah.
Because that's a big. I don't know. There's no, like, penalties or anything. But it's just like, no, 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 you got to do the... With
oh,
the
you're
the
Travolta!
Oh, come on,
no, these
spin.
Are other people
the
around kids. You?
No,
or just
friends.
You. Okay, this I thought is, they started catching on.
No, just our group of, like, five or six people. So we do it until till it ends. And... I don't know.
We're cracking up the whole time.
You got six people. With
the owners love it when you're paying per game.
Definitely
a 3-hour game. They bowl it for 25 minutes and then dance it for 2.5.
Dancing. Come on. How funny is that? And you got six people bowling. There's a good chance you're going to get a few strikes. And you do. And it is awesome, brother. It is awesome. Just the other day, we had my cousins over, and we played Wii, and there's a bowling game on the Wii, and we did it. And it was great. My cousin Jenny came up with the voodoo dance. Oh, it was great. I think it's my new favorite dance, and I can't wait to bring it to the bowling alley.
Go play chess with an old man in the park. Same rules.
I cannot wait.
I can't play chess. Remember when you were a kid and you got your first tape recorder and just recorded your friends laughing and being stupid? That's pretty much this show.
I get yelled at this week for not seeing the movie Slapshot.
You never saw Slapshot?
No!
Dude!
Okay, can I just say, I hate it when people do that. Oh yeah, I never saw it. You never saw it! Well, if I had seen it, I wouldn't have said I didn't see it.
I never saw It's a Wonderful
Who's
Life.
Who's in that? Who's in Slapshot?
I know he yells, hello movie, I was so I don't know why.
What?
And I've never seen a movie.
But don't you hate it? Like when you say, oh yeah, I never saw a Wonderful Life, people go, you never saw a Wonderful Life? Like,
they do it to you all the time.
I hate that.
You know, I never saw Slapshot, so I worked in trucking, so I was giving a guy a rate, and he must have mentioned the town that was in the movie. He's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he starts naming people off and this and that, and I'm like,
what are you talking about?
I don't know
about?
What you're talking about. And then he's just like, you never saw Slapshot?
I never saw Slapshot. So I have to go watch it.
I've never seen...
It was funny.
Steven Tyler, I will watch Slapshot as soon as I get a chance.
Steven Tyler?
No, Steve from Tyler Transfer.
I don't understand. You're talking to Steven Tyler?
Would you explain?
Would you explain why Steven Tyler is yelling at me for not watching Slapshot?
I never saw Ghostbusters or The Godfather or Rocky, and any time I happen to mention that,
no.
You never saw.
I was watching Top Gun the other day. That's a good movie. Young That's Meg good. Ryan.
I know I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
It's a really good movie. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Except for his
Thing.
No. Lockport's funny, but it's like his whole flight thing, like his big plan. Like when he goes out there, he's like they're flying, and he's like, oh, the guy's behind him, and he's chasing him, and then he just tells Goose, he's like, don't worry, I'm gonna hit the brakes, he's gonna fly right by. Isn't that the first thing they teach you in fucking plane school? Like, wouldn't that be the first thing? Like, I welcome to Brian's plane school. No, the second thing. Excuse me. This, see that thing over there with the wings? That's a plane. Okay, lesson number two. He's going to hit the brakes. You're going to fly right by. Don't do that. Like, that should be, like, lesson two in plane school. And then that was his big thing. And then he hit the brakes, and now he's behind the guy, and he shoots. It's so obvious. Like, don't worry, I'm going to hit the brakes. You're going to fly right by.
Who were they fighting?
They were just fighting each other. Like, it was a Top Gun. It was like a school. But, like, that was his thing. He's like, don't worry, I'm going to hit the brakes. He's going to fly right by. If I was Goose, I'm like... No, I think he knows that trick. Don't hit the brakes.
Is that how he died?
He was ejected, but something happened with the ejection seat, and he banged his head on eject quick enough, so he hit his head on the thing, yeah. And then he died, and then Meg Ryan cried. He's a very sad actor, except when he's in Revenge of the Nerds, because he died in, like, ER to that Somewhere Over the Rainbow song.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
Speaking of snow...
I'm tired of it.
Yeah, but I find that the only time I hear this word is during bad winters.
Blizzard?
During blizzards. The only time I ever hear this word. Tertiary.
Really? What, for the roads?
Yeah.
I never hear it, like, in regular speak, I've never had the...
You'd hear it in math classes.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just, like, technical
that's not
stuff. But, yeah, the regular... I've never used the word tertiary. And then it's just like, okay, well, the main roads are fine, the secondary roads are whatever, the tertiary roads, like, what? Yeah.
I have, but it's still a specialized thing, like, when you're talking about colors in art, primary, secondary, tertiary.
I don't know anything about art.
Remember that?
Yo, primary is red,
blue,
and yellow.
What's a tertiary color?
I gotta think.
I guess like a mix.
Yeah, primary is red, blue, and yellow. Secondary is orange, green, and purple.
I know RGBIV.
What?
Mm-hmm. I know RGBIV.
RGB.
And then there's tertiary.
She's a good friend of mine.
Let's see what the tertiary colors are.
Yeah, I don't remember wearing tertiary.
I don't think I learned.
So what is that for? Like the...
Side roads.
Yeah.
So your secondary, your primary roads are your highways, your secondary roads are your, like, your main streets.
Oh.
Tertiary roads are your side streets, and then your fourth-tiary roads are like your driveway, I guess.
A tertiary color is a color made by mixing one primary color with one secondary color in a given color space, such as RGB or RGB.
What's fourth-tiary?
Is it really a word?
No, I'm trying to figure out what the word is.
I don't know if there is one. Let me see if
There's
I can find
be.
Out. Well, no, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be fourth sherry.
I know it wouldn't be fourth.
I mean, sherry. I can't even try to type that and have it correct.
No. I mean, just put like you know, type in.
Go to Wikipedia.
Go to Google and type in primary, secondary, tertiary. All
right.
And then see what happens. And it'll give you a list of the sherries.
Primary, secondary. Tertiary.
Did it come up?
What comes after primary, secondary? Quaternary, quinary, centenary, septenary, octenary, nonary, and denary.
Wow.
Wow. The denary road is your walkway.
Denary road is, I don't know what that is. Wow.
Porch.
Cool. That's cool. Quat. I said it was going to be something like that.
Smart.
What?
Smart.
What is it again? How do you say it? Quaternary.
Primary, secondary, tertiary, quaternary, quinary, centenary, septenary, octenary, nonary, and denary, which yeah, obviously it comes from Latin, but that's almost identical to Spanish, which is not surprising at all. That's really cool.
Please email us at thewagmusic@aol.com. Let us know what you think of our show and receive a free prize.
What is for certain?
I want to talk about a word I say that people make fun of me, and I guess it's just something I learned growing up, but most people call it a living room, but at times I call it a parlor.
No, I always call it a parlor.
Oh, you call
Are
it a parlor?
Yeah, I'm a parlor person, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because my grandma...
Well, why don't you two just sit down and have a nice cup of tea?
Cup of tea in the parlor.
Well, my grandma would always say, like, you know, it's in the parlor, go in the parlor, or whatever, play in the parlor, watch TV in the parlor. Yes. Like, that's what I call it, too.
Yeah.
And when I say it, and it just sometimes it comes out, and sometimes when it comes out, people look at me like, what are you talking about? That's where they lay the bodies. Like, you know, it's a funeral parlor.
Yeah, no, I call it a parlor. It was always a parlor when I was growing up.
Did you
okay.
say parlor?
Yeah, growing up it was parlor. But in my own home, I say living room.
It has got to be a central northern thing because down in South Jersey, that's not what we say. We say living room.
No, usually you go, yeehaw!
Shut up!
But it's just not common now.
It's about the
tune. Like our, you know, grandmothers. You know,
yeah.
But, you know, down to us. I don't think the younger generation says parlor.
What? I don't think one of my grandmothers said parlor, but one was from Philly and one was from South Jersey. So.
Right. And I've said it, like, I mean, it just comes out sometimes and people, like, look at me like, what? Did you just say that?
I look at you
it's
a
like,
lot like that.
When there was this lady and she was putting on she was talking about some lady who put on too much makeup and I said, oh, what, did she have too much rouge? And
I'm
like,
what?
I'm like, rouge?
What?
They're like, they haven't used rouge in like 50 years.
I think the main difference is rouge is a cream that you put on and blush is the powder.
Yeah.
But most
Grandma
of
had
us,
rouge.
Yeah, most of us now use the powder. Red. It's blush. It's not rouge. But you know what rouge means?
No.
It's just a word for red.
Well, I figured it was like some kind of...
It's French for red.
Okay.
Yeah, I call it rouge.
Okay.
Every time you put it on every morning.
But if you say that around other people, like, at least you just find, what? You know,
see,
like,
you two put on your rouge in the parlor. We put on our blush in the living room.
See?
I'm just saying, it's just, you know, it's another one of those words, and I said it as, you know, matter of fact.
We talk like old people.
Now,
that's
fine. Do you get your food from the cupboard or the pantry?
Actually, we have cabinets, but that white thing over there, sometimes we call it either one because I don't think either one of us ever had one before.
We never had. I didn't.
So
have
we didn't know what
up.
To call it. So we call it cupboard or pantry. I think you usually call it the pantry.
That's what I always call it.
I would call it shelving unit. Like, I'm,
yes.
I have no idea.
How Home Depot
like
of you?
Slate.
Yeah.
I get my food from some Chinese guy who comes every night, rings a bell.
That's great.
Hi, this is Todd, and you're listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
Got a long commute, but everything's alright. I know I'll be in time, and timing is everything. And when I saw your face, I know you must have known.
They might have found Amelia Earhart's finger. There was an island that they thought maybe she might have landed near and then swam to or whatever. And they found a body there in like the 40s, but they didn't have enough technology to figure out what it was. And then now the body's gone. I'm like, what? Where did you put the body?
Oh.
I'm like, come on. But then they found a finger. And I think it's hers. Mm. And now they can take it back. Now we're testing. They can probably figure out if it really was her or not. So
that's weird how they can test it, though. Like, test it to what?
I guess DNA.
But even that, like, what did they do? Did they have a sample of her DNA?
Or like her hair or something like that. Like they might have that.
Like my little hair in my baby book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's enough to
that's,
test
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. Whoa.
I guess so. So if you, you know, crash land on an island one day and we find your finger.
It won't be the middle finger.
Yeah. That's so funny. When I was reading a story and then the first comment was on her. After all these years, Amelia Earhart finally gave us the finger.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That would be interesting to see if they found her, you know. Some people think that maybe she lived.
Yeah, and she was with somebody. The poor guy never gets credit. Like, I forget his name, like Peter Noonan or something. I forget his name. But he was like the co-pilot. The poor guy, like, hey, you know, I'm stranded here too. Hello. He never gets talked about because it was him and her.
Wow.
So if they lived, because they found other things there. They found, like shells. You know, they cracked open because they were eating the crabs or whatever. Mm. They found glass bottles that you could tell were heated from the bottom, so they were cooking things.
So why wouldn't you think it was them then? Like,
I don't know, because they might have thought it was somebody else. I mean, I don't know.
It would have to be.
I guess, you know. I don't know if people lived on the island or not. But I'm interested to see how that all turns out. Because I'd love for it. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Lived.
I wonder how her finger came off.
I think the animals will eat them after that. I mean, the rest of the body's gone. The bones are just scattered all over the place. And then they found that one body. And the thing about the one they found the body, they didn't find the hands. So
maybe it's her.
Maybe, it, you know. But then they can't find the body. I'm like, come on. Mm-hmm. Find the body. But you had mentioned Oswald's coffin went up for sale.
Right. They were auctioning Oswald's coffin. He was in the coffin for 20 years.
I read it.
He was in the coffin for 20 years. Then they dug him up because his wife wanted to see if he was really in there or something.
Yeah, she thought it was a Russian spy.
Yeah, they thought they switched when he was in Russia. And I'm like,
So they gave him a different coffin, but that original coffin is for sale. Can you imagine that? I mean, like, he spent 20, I mean, he was dead, but he spent 20 years in that coffin. Would you want that coffin to be yours?
No. I wouldn't want anybody's coffin. I don't want a brand new coffin.
I'd make it a coffee table.
A coffin table?
Coffin table. Then I'd buy a coffee table book about Kennedy and put it on top of it.
Oh.
Then as the person's reading it, you just smirk.
Yeah, but your coffee cup would never balance because the tops are always round.
I don't know. It might not have been.
It's a pine box. It had many bowl bearers. The news report, he got buried the same day Kennedy got buried.
Yeah, I know.
And nobody was there except for a couple news people, and they had to be their pallbearers. Like, we can't carry this coffin. Anybody around? And then the people had to carry it.
You could, like, taking pictures while they're carrying it.
You would think that somebody would have said, oh, wait, no, we shouldn't bury these two on the same day. Like, you'd think that somebody would have said that.
If you bought the coffin, would you lay in it?
Mm-hmm. No. I wouldn't buy it.
What if they gave it to you?
I wouldn't
I'd
take
turn
it.
Around and sell it.
I'd probably give it to you.
I don't know what I'd do with it, but it would just be interesting to have.
Well, I mean, let's say it didn't, like, reek or whatever. It didn't smell.
Sure
I don't think you could ever
creepy.
Get it all out of there.
But even if it didn't smell, like, it's still creepy. Yeah, sure, he's right. I mean, it's, you know, a bad guy was in there. Like, it's, you know, it's not... Alright, go ahead, make poke fun.
No, I am.
See, I want one of those.
A good guy's coffin?
I want a good guy coffin.
It don't matter to me.
No, does it matter?
Nah, it's just interesting. Like, you see the
old one with pockets.
You see the old clips of him getting buried, and, like, you have that coffin. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. A piece of history, I guess. I want a coffin with the inside, so the inside has pockets.
So you can organize your...
Oh, so I can organize things.
You're laying there for eternity.
And I want, like, a string that attaches to a
bell
up above the grave. In case I wake up.
Bates Belfry.
That's a good idea.
Called.
I like that.
Do you remember hearing stories like they actually did that? Like
they didn't know if they were dead, so they built that thing with a string.
But can you imagine
Bates Belfry or something?
I don't know if it ever happened, but what if? What, I mean, maybe it did happen. Like, wouldn't that be weird? Like, if you're the grave shift guy, whatever, mm-hmm. or girl, whatever, and
you hear the bells ring.
You take the shovel, you dig them up, person comes out, thank you. It's like, ho, freaky.
That's why they invented that bell.
Right.
Like, somebody in my family that happened to, they dug them up, and they were upside down.
Oh, that's freaky! But wait, there's not enough room to turn upside down.
Sure you can.
Oh.
Sure you can.
Oh.
Yeah. So does that mean they were alive?
I don't know. They dug them up for whatever reason. I guess they just, you know, wanted to move the body. Thinking, you know, great uncle or whatever. And when they dug them up, they opened up the coffin and the body was upside down.
Oh, freaky.
But why would you even open the coffin? Like, if you're just going to move the body? Like, they must have had a reason to open the coffin.
Maybe he just rolled.
Yeah,
like, when they picked up the coffin.
Nah, it's not like they flip it around.
Were there scratch marks?
No. But it was just upside down, or she, whoever. But, you know, I guess when they disinter it and then they go rebury it, they might put it in another coffin. So they say, okay, let's take him out of this coffin because the coffin's like half shot and put him in another one and open that thing up and see the body upside down. Oh,
that's weird.
I think they did that to Lincoln. Like, didn't they move?
I don't know.
They dug him up, whatever, and they put
Sarah's
him in
all this. Sarah's all grossed out. She's like, oh.
They were afraid. I think they were afraid that someone was going to steal Lincoln's body, and they ended up, like, put him. For like a year,
Lincoln in a basement
was in like a basement of a mausoleum in a corner with like a bag of mulch on him or something like that.
Wait, basement of a what?
Mausoleum.
Okay, just checking.
Whatever.
Just checking. I wanted.
What'd I say? Mausoleum.
Mausoleum, I think.
Mausoleum.
Where Muslims get buried.
In a mausoleum. Great. But anyway, like, yeah, like, I guess people have, I don't know. And they actually, oh, and I think in this one, they did open the coffin. Like, the people who knew about this would go in there and periodically open the coffin and check on Lincoln, see if he's still there. Like, poor Lincoln, like, and his...
We rest already.
I think his son was involved, too, like Lincoln's son or whatever. They would open up and make sure he's still there. And they said that, like, he still had, like, color on his face and stuff like that. He was, like, a little bit orangey or something. He ended up turning, like, the color of a penny, which is ironic.
Actually coppery.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But you gotta see that special.
That's where they got the idea.
Yeah, maybe.
Thanks for listening to the Imaginary Radio Show. To hear our music and to download more Imaginary Radio Show episodes, please visit www.thewagband.com.